Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
One thing in life, I don't know, that I've never really understood is people's reluctance to admit that they were wrong about something. Especially when we know that we get things wrong all the time and everybody does. It's not like there's a group of people that never get things wrong. You get things wrong all the time. Like, I don't really understand the culture of, like, when you make a bad sports prediction and then we, like, run a ha-ha-ha, you got that wrong. Like, we all make bad sports predictions. Everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how much information you have. You think one thing, it doesn't play out that way, and then you make a new prediction. That's the beauty of sports. What I saw yesterday, and I want you guys to give him a lot of credit for this, is we spent all week banging the drum about the importance of the Chiefs running the football and how you need to run the football and how you got to stick with it and how you got to stay with it and shotgun runs and RPOs and what all of these things mean. I think at first Andy was basically giving you guys the middle finger. Their first run play, guess what it was? It was a shotgun run that didn't go anywhere. Guess what their second run was? It was an RPO that then was intercepted. It was intercepted. They were going to keep doing what they've always been doing, which for the most part has been pretty unsuccessful when it comes to them running the football. They run it a little bit. They don't stay with it. They're not aggressive enough when it comes to running the football. And ultimately, everything just falls apart. You guys have been screaming from the mountaintops, run the ball from under center. Did you guys know that yesterday they ran their most snaps from under center? Now, a lot of that is they ran 91 plays yesterday. They were just on the field a lot. But doesn't matter. They ran their most plays from under center yesterday. Rob, how many runs, how many passes do you think they had out of their 18 snaps from under center? Now, this team, they're primarily going to be in shotgun. That's just their offense. So I don't want to make it seem like it was a 50-50 split between shotgun runs and under center, but 18 for them, a season high? Hey, that's a step in the right direction. Rob, they ran it 19 times from under center and only threw it twice. Now, they didn't run the ball super effectively from under center. They only ran it for 49 yards out of those 16 carries that they got. I mean, they didn't really run it that effectively or efficiently at all yesterday. But you know what they did? They stayed with it, and they stayed with it. And they controlled the tempo of the game. And they controlled the pace of the game. It kept Patrick Mahomes upright. You didn't ask him to do everything offensively yesterday. That is all we have been asking for them to do. I looked at it yesterday as Andy eventually looked at his play sheet and thought, hey man, maybe everybody else is right. Maybe I'm wrong in how I've been doing this. Now, I don't think that they're giving Kareem Hunt 30 carries on a week-in, week-out basis, but I think the Chiefs originally came in with the game plan. I think that game plan resulted in an early interception, and I think the Chiefs at that moment made a choice to go in a different direction and just run the football and keep the Colts defense honest. And we have seen times where the Chiefs try it for a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. It doesn't end up working, so the Chiefs go away from it and tell Mahomes to go play hero ball. They stayed with it yesterday in a way that I thought was admirable from them. I'm giving the Chiefs credit. Maybe you guys aren't giving the Chiefs credit for that. I will give the Chiefs credit for it. For them to show the commitment to run the ball as much as they did yesterday and stick with it in the face of, it wasn't super productive. I mean, they ran the ball. I mean, Kareem Hunt ran the ball 30 times. He had 100 yards. He averaged 3.5 yards per carry. They tried to give Clyde Edwards-Helaire a couple of carries. I mean, they gave, between Kareem Hunt, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Breshad Smith, they ran the ball 36 times yesterday with their run game. They tried to establish the run game. They tried to establish the line of scrimmage, even when it would have been easy to go away from because they lost one of their offensive line in the game in Trey Smith, who sets the tone in it. I'm giving Andy his credit when it came to how they ran the football yesterday and their ability to stay with it.
I have nothing to disagree with you said. Now, I got to ask you a question, and it's a question it's impossible maybe for you to answer, but I think it is the million-dollar question, the billion-dollar question, the largest question facing the Chiefs. Andy Reid admitted he was wrong and ran from under center, and they probably had their best running game of the season on Sunday. Congratulations, it worked. The question is Andy going to keep doing it? Because to your point, he had been hearing this from me, you, media members, Nate Taylor. He had been hearing it. I was in the press box on Sunday. If I went polled every media member, they would have been like saying he needs to run more under center. Heard it from fans. He probably heard it at home. I'm sure his wife was like, hey, have you considered an under center run? Just change up the vibe. Everyone was saying it all week. To your point, the first two plays, RPO, run from shotgun. He admitted he was wrong, went back under center. He now has 3 days prepared before a game day for the Cowboys. Is he going to say, light bulb, that worked on Sunday, let's ride it out? Or is he going to say, they had their one, it's time to get back to what I do best? Because if the Chiefs are going to start doing the Bronco game plan again, I don't know that it's a guarantee they beat Dallas. If they have that game plan, they have a much better shot. Do you think Andy is going to stick with it and say, I was wrong, here's a change? Or is it a one-game sample size?
Time will tell. I wish I could answer your question. I don't know. I have no clue. Honestly, I have absolutely no clue if that's the case. None. I don't have any. I know yesterday they do not win that game if they don't run the football the way that they tried to yesterday. I mean, they threw it 46 times and ran it 41 times. You know what their offense had? It had balance. It had an identity yesterday that I think fueled the rest of the team. The Chiefs going up against the team that's known for running the football, a team that's known for their offensive line, they were the tougher and more physical team. And I'm guessing, going on the road against an offense like the Cowboys that has a capable run game, good wide receivers on the outside, good quarterback that can do some different things, I'm going to guess that they also need to establish tempo and run the ball. I've never been here advocating that the Chiefs have some run game. It was about using the run game efficiently to set up all the other things that you need to do offensively. Their offense, we have seen, doesn't work if they don't have some level of commitment when it comes to running the football. And yesterday, their offense just wasn't Pat, run around, go save us. They had an identity. They moved the line of scrimmage. They moved the chains when necessary. And the run game was a complement and a part of what they do offensively. And they were the tougher, more aggressive, more physical team. I give them a lot of credit for this. While we're giving out credit, I think we have to give credit to Chris Jones. Now, I understand maybe the argument on the text line is going to be, well, that's what he gets paid for. He was doing his job. And I get that. 913-586-7965. But I think if we are going to be very loud in our criticism for Chris Jones when he is not a difference maker, when he doesn't show up, I think we have to have that same energy and our praise when Chris Jones plays well. And Chris Jones yesterday was by far and away their best defensive player and made a noticeable impact on the game at multiple points. When they're in the red zone, who gets the hit on Daniel Jones to force a field goal? It was him. On a third down, who forces Daniel Jones to throw it early on a guy who was wide open in the back half of the defense? If you remember, early on in the first half, Michael Pittman is wide open. Why did he have to rush that throw? Because Chris Jones got in his face and disrupted timing. Chris Jones has played really well these last couple of weeks coming off the bye week. And if this is the version of Chris Jones you're going to get that is going to help generate pressure and is going to make an impact on the game, that's a Chris Jones that you can live with. I thought Chris Jones played really, really well for them yesterday.
There was a moment in the game, and people who are at the game will know this moment, and maybe they showed it on TV. If they didn't, I'm sorry for referencing it. I think the Chiefs had come off the fumble to Kareem Hunt because the ball was the Colts had the ball deep in their own territory. And coming out of the timeout, Chris Jones was screaming, yelling, trying his best to fire up the fan base. It felt like Arrowhead was like, oh, no, not again. And Chris Jones was basically a cheerleader out there. He was trying to pump the crowd up. He was screaming all these things. And then he turned around and dominated a series by himself. And from that moment on, he went out there and was absolutely unblockable. In overtime, the third and one that Jonathan Taylor doesn't convert, Drew Tranquil gets the stop. And yeah, he read it and he, you know, jumped the gap and the whole deal. But you know what? Chris Jones was the one in the backfield that opened up the space. And it felt like Arrowhead, when it was 20-9 and Kareem Hunt fumbled, felt a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety. Chris Jones went out there and played yell leader for a while and then went out there and played some of the best defensive tackle he's played this season. These last two games, he has been the game wrecker who has earned every bit of his paycheck. He's not Aaron Donald because no one's Aaron Donald, but this version of Chris Jones is having an Aaron Donald-like impact on games among the defensive line.
I think that's all you're asking Chris Jones to be. I think the Chris Jones that was capable of getting 15 sacks, I think that's over. I think the Chris Jones that gets 11 sacks in a season, I think that Chris Jones is over. He didn't get a sack yesterday. He had one tackle yesterday in the game. You couldn't have been watching that game and didn't see the impact that 9-5 had on the game. You had to have seen it, the impact that he had. I think that's all you're asking him to be at this stage. Obviously, you want production, you want sacks, you want tackle for losses, you want all of those kind of things. He had two quarterback hits yesterday and disrupt timing pretty routinely yesterday. That's the version of Chris Jones you're going to need down the stretch. You're going to need that version coming up against the Cowboys. You're going to need that version against Denver on Christmas Day. You're going to need that in this second half push as the Chiefs are trying to get into the postseason. Right now, you need everybody locked in. This is do or die time for Kansas City. That win doesn't get them completely out of the clear. Yes, it was a great win to have. It's incredible to have that in your back pocket. Man, job not finished. They're 6-5. You're still out of the playoff picture. But just continue to stay consistent, continue to keep stacking up these wins, continue to keep playing with momentum, and you can find yourself coming out on the other side. Right now, you're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Let's get back to talking about the Indianapolis Colts, who showed me a lot yesterday. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I want to talk about a moment in the game that I don't think a lot of people are going to discuss, but I thought was a major turning point in the game. We have seen a lot of these games and where the Chiefs pull it out of the fire that the other team kind of has Kansas City down. I mean, Indianapolis scored a touchdown on two of their first three possessions, and it looked easy as they were doing it. I mean, they got one right on the red zone because of the interception. They scored a touchdown on that play, the touchdown pass to Michael Pittman. They then had another drive where they went eight plays, 75 yards down the field, and just really dominated Kansas City. It's 14-3. Now, Rob, you were at the game. I'm guessing you could sense there was a nervous energy because people know how important it is. They were mentioning it on the broadcast. Hey, there's a tone here. This feels like a playoff game. Everybody that is in that stadium knows the situation that Kansas City's in, and they gotta have this one. Well, Kansas City goes down the field, and once again, they are struggling in the red zone. They have to kick a field goal. All right. Now it is 14-6. Now, there's still a lot of time left in the game, but this is right before the end of the first half. So after that field goal, Indianapolis gets the ball with 2 minutes and 19 seconds left in the half. And we know the Chiefs at the beginning of the second half, but this is an opportunity, in my mind, you have to lay a significant blow against Kansas City. You really got a chance here. Right, they get a decent return. They get the ball. They're moving. Rob, in this, it is now 3rd and 1 at the 40-yard line. It's 3rd and 1. The Colts ran it on 2nd down with Jonathan Taylor. He got 1 yard. Now, it is 3rd and 1 here. Now, what I would do in this scenario is give the ball again to the best running back in the National Football League and trust him and our offensive line to be able to move the line of scrimmage, be able to move the chains, keep our drive going, and let's get a 1st down. It's not what the Colts did here. The Colts then tried a deep pass down the right side of the field into double coverage. Jalen Watson breaks it up. They are now faced with a decision. It's 4th and 1. Now, honestly, I'm thinking at home, and I know we could play the hindsight is 2020 game. I thought the Colts had gone for a deep pass on 3rd down because they felt like they had the Chiefs offense stalled a little bit and they were going to be aggressive and try to go for it. And then they come out, and it was obvious that they were just trying to draw the Chiefs offsides. They end up taking the delay of game and punting the football, and Kansas City goes down and gets points before the end of the first half, and it turns the game from 14-6 to 14-9 going into halftime. I thought that was a very telling sequence and kind of foreshadowed how the rest of the game was going to go. An over-reliance on their quarterback when you had an obvious rundown. The Indianapolis Colts at no point the rest of the season should throw the ball deep on 3rd and 1. This wasn't a screen play. This wasn't a little jet sweep end around. This wasn't a pop pass that is technically a run play, but you end up, it goes down as a pass completion. No, they tried a deep pass down the field into double coverage. The ball gets swatted out, and you had a chance where the Chiefs were a little bit wobbly. A little bit on their heels, a little bit. We've seen enough Chiefs games where you can maybe score on Kansas City in the first 2-3 possessions defensively, and then they make adjustments, they tighten up, and the game then changes. Indianapolis never scored a touchdown after that. They kicked a couple of field goals, and the Chiefs defense really, really started to wake up. I don't know if they would have converted the 4th down or the 3rd down. We'll never know. But I'm telling you right now, that was a very telling sign that in a very important, pivotal swing point in the game, They overly trusted Daniel Jones. It didn't work. I thought they maybe should have been aggressive on fourth down. They chose not to be aggressive on fourth down. They gave the ball back to Kansas City, and then Kansas City got points. And that is basically almost what happened in the final four possessions of the game. The Colts had 13 three and outs coming into this. I mean, 13 three and outs. I mean, this was their 11th game of the year. I mean, so they're averaging about maybe one a game. This is not an offense that has been stopped a whole lot so far this season. For them to get four straight three and outs to close out the game and do nothing. I mean, three plays, minus 2 yards, three plays, 7 yards, three play, a yard, three plays, 7 yards. Like, on two of these, they had themselves in third and long situations where you gotta get a play from your quarterback, and they just couldn't get it. I know that there were other bigger plays in the game, but I really think Indianapolis's last possession before the end of the first half, I thought that was a really important point in the game, a chance where they had an opportunity to maybe knock Kansas City down a little bit, and I think they completely missed it.
We talk a lot on this show. We use the Zombieland analogy because this show loves movies. We use the Zombieland analogy a lot. You got to double tap the Chiefs. In that moment, it felt like the Colts failed to double tap. Because it's third and one. And I remember I was sitting next to Alex Gold, and I told Gold, I'm like, how many times have the Colts been in third and one, third and two? They're just, to you know, get very old school football guy, they're always staying ahead of the chains. The Colts are doing that consistently. And they threw a deep ball. You said it was Joshua Downs. It's not even like if it's Michael Pittman, that makes a little sense to me. That's not their best wideout. That's not their second best receiving option.
Or Alec Pierce. It wasn't either one of those guys. Or it wasn't Tyler Warren, one of their tight ends.
It's their fourth best receiving option.
They tried a deep pass play, which Jalen Watson actually made a really good play on that one to break it up there. It was a bad throw, bad decision, poor execution. I mean, everything went wrong on that play, in my opinion. That's just not what I would do if I'm the Colts on third and one. I feel like the Colts came into this with an identity. And I think we've seen this before when Kansas City goes up against people. They came in with an identity of who they are as a team. I mean, to only give Jonathan Taylor 16 carries, for him to only touch the ball three times in the final 25 minutes of the game or so, that's just not who the Colts are. That's not how the Colts plan on advancing in the postseason.
There were a couple moments in the game that I kind of felt the same was that one. But that was the first time I thought to myself, the Colts are kind of outsmarting themselves a little bit here. Shane Steichen had a really good game plan. Most of the first and second quarter, I felt like the Colts outplayed the Chiefs and kind of out-schemed the Chiefs. Like, there was the great pick, don't get me wrong, but there was a couple of times where I felt like it was just Steichen was getting the best of Andy Reid. And then that play happened, and then three, four times throughout the rest of the game, I thought to myself, does Shane Steichen not know what got him here? Does he not know what made them 8-2 going into the day? Does he not get what the deal is? So it was the first of many, man, you're just outthinking yourself. And that was the first one. And honestly, I don't know if it was a true double tap moment, but you could have really, really, really put the screws to the Chiefs. And the Colts kind of lit them up off the mat, and the Chiefs roared back to life.
There are two things that I want to talk about here. And these are things that would be much bigger deals if the Chiefs had lost. But because they won, they kind of get moved to the back burner. I would say kind of like that sequence we were just discussing. I thought that was a big point in the game for Indianapolis. They didn't take advantage of it, and they ended up losing the game, where in hindsight, maybe they play it a little bit differently. There are two things that happened in this game that if Kansas City misses the postseason or Kansas City gets eliminated early, these are things that we know are problems with the Chiefs. And in my opinion, they have done very little to try to solve these things. Let's start with their special teams. We were talking about a little bit earlier with Nico Remigio, and I don't want him on kick or punt return anymore. I think you can find more explosiveness at those positions that could really help shift the momentum and balance of a game. And I don't think the Chiefs are getting the most out of it from a kick return standpoint. At this point, it is laughable how many penalties they create on special teams. It's impossible to get any momentum in your special teams when you create as many penalties as they have. That is a sign to me of discipline and a well-coached, well-oiled unit. And no one can say right now that they're watching this team on special teams and they feel like they have a well-oiled unit when it comes to the special teams. I don't think this team is going to blow out a lot of their opponents over the next couple of weeks. The Dallas game is going to be close. The Houston game is going to be close. Denver, Los Angeles. Like, they are just going to find themselves in close one-score situations. Man, they can't continue to have a potential big special teams return get taken off the board because of a penalty. They can't continue to have drives that start at the 10 or 15 because you committed a holding penalty or an illegal block in the back. I mean, they committed 4 special teams penalties yesterday. That's unacceptable. It's really unacceptable from a team that is as cohesive as the Chiefs have been. It's not like it's a lot of new guys that we're talking about. And from a team that has one of the most respected special teams coaches in the history of the sport. We're talking about Dave Tobe's been doing this now for 20 years. He coached Devin Hester. That's how long Dave Tobe has been around. He's been doing this 15, 20 years. Their special teams unit is not reflective of a team that has a long-standing, very respected guy who was interviewing for head coaching jobs. Their special teams unit is not reflective of that. We've seen that cost them. And right now, while you're playing with very little margin for error, when you got to go 6-1 down the stretch, man, that one play, that one penalty, that one mistake, that can be the difference in you winning and losing against these teams. They got to clean up the special teams issues that they have had so far this season. And no one's saying you got to be a dynamic special teams. Right now, their kick and punt return units are a negative for their team. It's a negative for the team. You got to get it to at least be a neutral. Doesn't help you, doesn't hurt you. But right now, the amount of penalties that they have on special teams, Rob, they end up being a negative for this team, and that cannot go on as every game that they have basically the rest of the way feels like a playoff game.
I mean, earlier in the year, we pointed out the special teams issues, and the easier ones to identify is missed kicks. But man, it's everything. And the kicking was good on Sunday, so I don't mean to Harrison Butker catch a stray there. But every other element of their special teams, it's just bad. Nico Remigio is bad. I also would tell you, how many times did, when the Colts received a punt, it felt like they were on the brink of a big, big return, and they were getting positive yards in their return game. It's been a bad unit. Now, the NFL doesn't disclose how much assistant coaches make, so I don't know. My guess.
I'm guessing he's one of the highest paid special team coaches in the league. That's what I'm going to guess.
1-1 among special teams coaches. If not him, it's the guy who coached the Raiders for a while, now with the Packers. Bisaccia, whatever his name is. He's one of the top 2 most expensive special teams coordinators. Special teams coordinating is coverage and all the stuff. His coverage units have been bad. His return units have been bad. There have been moments this year where the kicking has been bad. Kickoff issues. We've blamed Harrison Butker, and not that he's not part of the problem. You know who's oversees that? Dave Tobe. So Dave Tobe's got to clean this up. And me and you know this, and the text line knows it, and we joke about it every August. Well, that 52nd and 53rd guy on the roster, those are Dave Tobe picks. He gets to make the final picks on the roster. If you're going to give this guy blank amount of money, if you're going to make him the ipso facto czar of the last 2 guys on the roster in the preseason, his roster, his unit can't be one of the worst in the NFL. I remember last week listening to the coordinator sound, he said, you know, we have a big week ahead of us. Our group is 22nd in the NFL. The Colts are 2. I noticed a staggering difference between the Colts and Chiefs special teams on Sunday. It was apparent.
Yeah, let's actually find that audio really quickly. Actually, I find it right here. We'll play it for you because just the acknowledgement, hey, our special teams unit is bad. I mean, he's telling you this last week before the game, and then they go out and they had a self-fulfilling prophecy last week.
Speed everywhere. Chris Ballard is known for putting teams together that have a lot of speed. You know, I was with him, you know, at 2 different spots, and he takes a lot of he knows how important special teams are, you know, is and on a team, and he's got a lot of personnel, really good personnel over there. You know, in our ranking system that we use, they're 2. We're not too good after last week. I mean, obviously we're like 22. So I mean, you got 22 versus 2. You know, that gets your guys' attention. I mean, and then you see it on tape. The speed is across the board. Great speed, great returners. You know, there's this. It's like pick your poison. Who are you going to kick to? They're all good. Doolin's good. Abdullah's good. I mean, so got our hands full.
You know. I mean, they had their hands full. And I give Tobe credit. You remember Harrison Butker was a problem for this team early on in the season. It feels like they have corrected the Harrison Butker issue. He was a problem for the first 4, 5, 6 games of the season. He committed a lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes that helped this team get off to a very slow start. And he was a major reason of why they won yesterday. So I don't want to make it seem like Tobe has not had any effect on the team. I give the coaching some credit for that and help him get him out on the other side. I mean, this team isn't talented enough. This team isn't good enough to routinely overcome the mistakes that they make when it comes to special teams, keeping it with that theme. Now, I already know what the text line is going to say. Well, it wasn't a penalty. He didn't do it. You're probably right. This is the third time this season, fourth time this season, that the Chiefs have scored a touchdown and there has been a flag, and we all know exactly who the flag is on. So I'm with you. Did he grab his face mask? Did he not grab his face mask? Did he turn his head? It is a questionable call. No question about it. I'm not here to argue that. But we have to acknowledge that the brand that Juwan Taylor has created in playing right tackle, he is just always going to get more attention than everybody else because of the amount of penalties that he has created. So I'm not saying you're causing all the trouble, but usually when trouble has been created here at this school, you are normally in the middle of it. So maybe you didn't do it this time. Hey, we go up to you. Hey, somebody, no, it wasn't me. I didn't do it this time. Nobody believes you. Hey, I told you I didn't do it. That happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But yesterday, some of why the Chiefs have put themselves in this pressurized situation where everything feels like it's a must win because everything is a must win. Man, they did a lot of those things yesterday in the game. They had a touchdown that was overturned because of a penalty that was brought back that could have ended up being a major, major swing in the game and what contributes to some of their red zone issues. It's the special teams issues that they have. The Chiefs didn't play a perfect, or I would say a super clean game. The Chiefs did what normally they do. They were able to lock in the final 7 to 8 minutes of this thing and figure out a way to win. But I don't want to make it seem like this win doesn't come without questions or flaws. And if this team is going to be able to do it, and they're going to have to do it against some good football teams, Dallas is a capable team. Denver, Los Angeles, man, you can't continue to have touchdowns to get negated because of a penalty. You can't continue to make some of these mistakes on a week in, week out basis that you have to overcome the way that they have.
I don't even want to look at the text line right now, because we know that the conversation about Juwan Taylor's penalty is going to pivot from, well, it wasn't really a penalty, and then the whole challenge nonsense that transpired. I don't want to have those conversations. If you are a guy who is consistently penalized, you are going to be targeted by the refs.
100%.
It happens in every sport. Like, Carrington, you and I like basketball. If you are a guy who is constantly fouling in basketball, you're going to get caught with more ticky-tack calls than a guy who plays clean. Ron Artest for the older era. You know what Ron Artest got? A lot of ticky-tack calls. You know why? They're keeping an eye on you. This is not some massive conspiracy. Chris Collinsworth pointed out, and that's why the refs start looking at him. We pulled the numbers at one point last season. He was terrible in Jacksonville with penalties. He's been terrible in Kansas City with penalties. This isn't some, you know, oh, if they were only watching him because of Collinsworth or whatever. They're watching him because he is grabby and very rarely lined up correctly. So I feel like it's a broken record. I could just cut, copy, and play what I said after week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and now 11. Juwan Taylor's got to clean up the penalties. It's maybe unfair that a guy who gets penalized as much as him gets, you know, the eye of the ref the way he does, but that's sports, man. I'm sorry. It's going to be what it's going to be. You can't keep grabbing. You can't keep finding your hands around someone's face mask. You can't be right on the edge of the whistle. You can't be jumping right at the whiff of the snap count. Like, you're going to have to be a little bit more conservative, and yet again, he finds himself in these situations because he's in bad situations and the refs seem to be having extra eyeball on him at all times.
Yeah, and I think at least for me and kind of maybe what I'm dealing with on a, I guess, analysis basis is, are these true characteristics of the team? Because so far this season, pretty routinely, they have had to overcome a Juwan Taylor mistake. And in years past, they were good enough to overcome those mistakes. Is this year's team good enough to do this? Maybe this is just the first time that I've noticed these special teams mistakes, and I'm seeing people on the text line saying it's been like this for a while. But when you go 15-2 like you did last year, and you're just better than everybody else, and you're winning a majority of these games, I don't know if we're spending as much time talking about the couple of times that they got a special teams penalty. But now when everything is heightened and you're not winning all of these close football games, even though you won one yesterday, I just think those things stand out a little bit more, and things that they need to clean up, and things that, if you have noticed, and maybe that regression is why they've fallen back a little bit, is because some of those things that, some of those foundational things that you need to do to win football games, they've gotten kind of laxed in. 74 committing penalties, those special teams things, those are just the things that get you beat in these one score, one possession kind of games.
I think the best way to say what the text line is saying, because I actually don't disagree with the text line, I think these special teams and Juwan Taylor issues have existed for a while. They're not new. Like, I'm betting if we looked up where Dave Tobe's unit ranked in 2024 and 2023, he was not like, man, that special teams unit's undeniable. They're you know, star-studded. It was bad, but winning cures all ills, Carrington. And when the Chiefs were 9-6 in 2023, you know what we were talking about? Bad receivers and Juwan Taylor. Do you know what we weren't talking about in 2024 when they won every one-score game, went 15-2? We weren't talking about those things. We were saying, hey, they're kind of living on the edge and they might have issues, but it just was, they kept winning. They were so talented, well-coached, whatever the thing, they overcame issues. This year, they're not overcoming them. So we're going to have to circle back and point to, hey, these issues are rearing their ugly head. And these issues could be one of the reasons why you lose in January. It's not just, hey, they won, shut up anymore. If Juwan Taylor has a face mask penalty in the first quarter of a road playoff game, it might be the difference between 7-3, and that 7-3 is the difference between winning and losing a game. If the special teams unit just keeps hemorrhaging field position because they don't do a good job, that might be the difference between losing a game 22-19 or being in overtime in the postseason. Like, you have to be at best a net neutral in those things, and they aren't right now, and they overcame them yesterday, but historically this season they aren't overcoming them, and those things on the margins are how you lose postseason games.
Text line 913-586-7965. Someone just said the face mask penalty wasn't Juwan, it was Kingsley Suamataia. Nope, it was Juwan. It was Juwan, too. That lets you know they had multiple of those kind of penalties yesterday. No, it was him. It happened with 14 seconds in the first quarter. It was on the direct snap. I'm sitting here looking at the game logs. It was on the direct snap to Kelsey. Kelsey scored a touchdown. There was a penalty. And everybody knew exactly who the penalty was on. It was a face mask penalty from Juwan Taylor. And then that was that weird sequence, you remember, where Romo was like, why don't the Chiefs challenge it? And then I'm thinking, hold on, you can challenge? I didn't know you could challenge face masks. And then he said the call should have came from New York. That was that sequence. That was early in the game. The Chiefs ended up not getting a touchdown on that drive. They ended up having to kick a field goal, which has just kind of been a theme for when it comes to them in the red zone. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs are going to join us on the show. Coming up, Saturday was a disaster for all three of the local college football teams. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Saturday was an absolute disaster for all three of the local schools. We'll talk about that. I promise you we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. Mitch Holtis is going to join us on the show right now. KU is playing. They are in the Players Era tournament that is in Las Vegas. Kansas is up 41-32 in the second half. It just started against Notre Dame, if you're keeping an eye on that one. So let's talk about it. I just want to get Missouri out of the way. Isn't Eli Drinkwitz supposed to be the offensive guy? I mean, this is his offense. This was your quarterback. You got one of the best running backs in college football. They spent a lot of money on that offensive line to go get Caden Green and the wide receivers. This is your team. They can't score. And that's one thing to be frustrated about. But it's another thing to be, in my opinion, cowardly in the game. This was a 17-6 game. Missouri at this point, the season is over. At least the season is over in regards to bigger picture, bigger dreams. They got 7 wins. Maybe they can be a 9-win team. But in 2025, there's not much of a difference in being a 7-win team, an 8-win team, or a 9-win team. It just kind of is what it is, right? So if your offense has been struggling all afternoon and you finally got the ball at midfield, which was a challenge for you, you ran a play. You got 7 yards. It's now 4th and 3 from the 50-yard line. You're losing. Your offense isn't giving you anything. If you're not willing to roll the dice that you can get one play that equals 3 yards, why are we even out here? Missouri then punts the ball. They gained 30 yards in field position. Do you want to know how the rest of the game ended for Missouri? Punt, interception, punt, punt. Downs, interception. They didn't come close to scoring the rest of the game. At least go for it. Inspire your guys. Use your creativity. Come up with something. But to punt is so cowardly if you're Missouri in that scenario. I got all the respect in the world for Oklahoma's defense. That team can't score. They didn't score anymore the rest of the game. Give yourself a chance. You can't win the game by punting. Embarrassing effort from Eli Drinkwitz. Embarrassing. There's issues that need to be addressed. We'll see how they do in the transfer portal. We'll see. There's issues they got to address. But goodness gracious, you got to give your guys a chance on Saturday. And Eli didn't even give them a chance to go on the road and win that game. That's the Missouri portion of the disaster. Punting the ball from the middle of the field on 4th and 3 when you haven't done anything offensively. It's mind-blowing to me. Rob, let's talk about KU. Now, I didn't watch a whole lot of the KU game. It was on at the exact same time as Missouri, and I wasn't watching KU. But I do know that they lost another game, and they are very much in danger of not making a bowl game. Now, I'm imagining that you and your KU friends not very happy about this. You didn't beat K-State this year. You didn't beat Missouri this year. You're also not going to make a bowl game. I mean, you struck out on all the objectives that you set for this Kansas basketball team at the very beginning, Kansas football team at the very beginning of the season, and they are not going to meet any of those expectations.
They are going to come well short. And what's frustrating as a KU fan, it's not the same as Missouri fans' frustration, but I think Missouri fans, after what you just said about the game in Norman, will understand this frustration. you're supposed to be the program builder if you're Lance Leipold. You're supposed to be the guy who was great at Buffalo and Wisconsin Whitewater, and, you know, you got this ability to, you know, get the most out of maybe not the most talented players. Like, he won 10 games at Buffalo. He won 9 games 1 year at Kansas. He's supposed to be, you know, more with less, and that's one of the selling points. You had a bye week after a really disappointing loss to prepare for Iowa State. An Iowa State team that, they're not bad, but they're not good. They're a 7-5, 6-6 type of team. And you go out there and you were never competitive. You laid a massive egg. You had 14 days to go do that, and now you expect on 6 days for me to think you're going to go out and beat Utah, who might be in the playoff? No. You're 5-7 in back-to-back seasons, and the heat under Lance Leipold's seat, while not hot yet, it is definitely starting to warm up. You know how, like, maybe your car does or doesn't have this. You know how they have those seat warmers? They have like the three levels of, you know, heated seats, like hot, warm. It's like, you know, a little bit of heat. He's like on the first level once they lose on Friday to Utah, because a winnable game on the road at Iowa State, you feel like you have the quarterback advantage off a bye week. All the ingredients are there, and you get walloped, absolutely walloped. It's just fans are starting to become a little more loudly frustrated with the coaching job at the University of Kansas.
Yeah, again, I mean, I understand being frustrated if you were a KU fan, where if you set objectives, and I think the feeling around this team would be different if they were a 5-win team, if they had either beat Kansas State or Missouri. You had a chance to win either one of those games. K-State was at home. Now, you got blown out, but K-State at home, you feel like you got a shot, especially after a bye week. And, I mean, they were up 21-6 on Missouri and then ended up losing the game. So, I mean, I'm with you. Like, Lance struck out this year. Now, I don't think they should fire Lance, but you're right. Going into the season, the expectation for Lance is going to be simple. You cannot miss a bowl game for 3 consecutive seasons. Not with the investment that Kansas put into their football program. They need to make a bowl game next year. One thing that I have noticed is like a little bit startling to me, and I'm not a K-State fan by any means. None of my really close friends are K-State fans. But I feel like now K-State fans have like turned the emotion that Chris Klieman has against him and like now look at it as a negative. I do think that Chris Klieman really cares, and I do think that Chris Klieman is really invested in their program on a deep human personal level, which I think is really important at a place like Manhattan, where there is great pride in going to that university, a great pride in our community, a great pride in being a Wildcat. I think that Chris Klieman shares a lot of those things. Man, this has just been a season where everything that could go wrong for this K-State team has gone wrong so far this season. They haven't won really any 50-50 game. I mean, basically, this year was, well, we went to a bowl and we continue to beat KU. I feel like that's all that's happened for this team. Who do you think goes into next year with more pressure? Do you think it's Chris Klieman or Lance Leipold?
I think it's Lance, but I could easily be convinced it's Klieman, because as much as Jalen Daniels has been good for the program at Kansas, Avery Johnson is a more talented quarterback than Jalen Daniels. I think we all know that. Has Chris Klieman gotten the most out of Avery Johnson? Like, Avery Johnson, I know that sometimes the star system misses. I get it. Rivals, 24-7, they miss. Avery Johnson was a 4-star. He was considered the best player in Kansas. Has he at any point in his time at Kansas State looked like a transcendent 4-star, wow kind of quarterback?
I think we were just wrong about Avery Johnson.
Are we wrong about Avery Johnson, or is Chris Klieman not maximizing the ability? It could be both. It could be one or the other. I don't know. But I think the answer is Lance and more pressure next year. But I think it's close, because if you're K-State, you feel like you have that dude at quarterback, and he's never, ever, ever looked like that dude at K-State.
Yeah, and respectfully, and I want no smoke with K-State fans, if you think that Kansas State has the answer at quarterback, you only think that because of where Avery is from. If Avery was from Detroit, I think it's different. I think it's hard for K-State fans to be objective about their quarterback because he is them. Small, rural Kansas kid that made it to go to Kansas State University and is a starting quarterback. But if that kid was from somewhere else that they didn't feel that emotional connection with, the heat and smoke around him would be he's just fine. He's fine. He has not developed or progressed in really any way. He's completing less than 60% of his passes in his career. He's never thrown for 3,000 yards. He's just fine. He's not nearly as athletic as we thought that he could potentially be. He's not that guy. He was a great high school player, and he's probably a great group of 5 quarterback. But, I mean, Rob, we watch Big 12 football. Where would you rank Avery Johnson at in the conference? Where is he at?
He's somewhere between 8 and probably 9 to 16.
That kid ain't good enough. I mean, not to be a three-year consistent starter like we're looking at. I mean, they had a good quarterback in Will Howard. They couldn't wait to push Will Howard out to get this kid in as their starting quarterback.
They ran Will Howard out.
Of course, for this kid. And I get why they did it. Hey, we're going to take the chance. And they took the chance on Avery Johnson. He ain't that guy. He's okay. He's fine. But Avery's not taking you to where I think you need to go if you're looking at it from that perspective. I think they were wrong on Avery Johnson. I think everybody was wrong. I think Rivals was wrong. I think 24/7. I just don't think Avery's him. No matter how much they want him to be him, and I get it. He's from small town Kansas, and he's the K-State quarterback. I get why it's hard to break up with that guy. But, yeah, he's not the answer to me at that position. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's next. Keep it right here. So drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.